are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Football Network, as it's Football Friday, and we're all over it. Steve Merrill, Joe Lisi, Pat Mayo. Steve Merrill, we're going to hit some NASCAR as well as the chase for the cup up again. So we've got to talk some NASCAR. We'll give you the future odds. We'll give you our take on the, and I also just wanted to say the Ninja Mutant Turtle 400, as that's what's racing this weekend. But we took a couple of weeks off from the NASCAR grid as the regular season wound down. Now the chase for the cup is here. We're ready to rock. Steve Merrill hops up and in. Pat Mayo, Super Lock, 1-0, victorious last week with the Minnesota Vikings. Joe Lisi, one of the best in the business when it comes to talking college football. Joe goes for the two. GoForTheTwo.com will join us. So we've got a ton of stuff to get to. Like I said, it's Football Friday, and we also have our DraftKings Millionaire Maker lineup for you. Last week, we gave you a lineup, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't as good as I would have liked. You know, we got $5 back for it. It was $3. So, hey, we nearly doubled your money. But we can do much, much better. We've got some interesting plays this week. Week two of the National Football League is always a tricky adventure, as we found out last night. So it's Football Friday. Let's dive right in here, because we got a ton of games to break down. Like, literally, I think we might talk about like 18 football games on the show today. You know, most shows don't talk about 18 football games in a damn month. 18, you know, like college football, NFL football. We even got some CFL picks for you. We got DFS picks for you. We got a ton of picks for you. But let's jump in right now. Week two of the National Football League is off and running. New York Jets victorious last night against the Buffalo Bills. Now, it's not shocking at all that the New York Jets have beat the pathetic, lowly franchise that are the Buffalo Bills. And Greg Roman, offensive coordinator, has just recently been fired just a moments ago. Pack your bags, Rex. You are next. Rex will be a much better television analyst than he will ever have been a head coach. And I expect to see him on ESPN, CBS, or one of the pregame shows next year. But I can't stand here and rage about the Buffalo Bills every day. We've already done it a couple of times this week. I pretty much called it, though. I told you that Greg Roman was useless. San Francisco 49ers knew that Greg Roman was useless. He cost the 49ers a Super Bowl. He cost Harbaugh a Super Bowl. And now he's going to cost Rex Ryan his job. But that's another story. Now, it's not shocking. It's not shocking that the Jets were victorious last night, but it was shocking that 68 points were put up on the board, as the total was 40.5 in this football game. And I'll tell you what, Las Vegas hasn't remained standing for the last 60 years taking sports bets because they were off by 28 points on a total. My point being, week two of the National Football League, it's almost harder than week one. You know, week one, we have trends, season openers, home openers, etc. And we also have first impressions. But what do you make of a first impression, like in life? Just when you meet somebody, they might be cool for 30 seconds, but they might be a jerk when you spend 3 hours with them. So just because the San Francisco 49ers were victorious on Monday night against the Rams, it doesn't mean they're a good football team. Last year, they beat the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings went 13-2 against the spread in the next 15 games, and the San Francisco 49ers went straight to hell in a handbasket. You know, so week one doesn't really mean the season. Sometimes it can cost you your job. The only thing we really know about the National Football League is we really don't know anything at all. But generally, we are conditioned to remember what we saw last. And we see this in a fantasy world all the time. You know, I logged on, I was surfing last night, doing all kinds of research, putting together my my lineup. So I'm reading various websites, and I'm reading all these guys' lineups, and I'm thinking, you know, is, man, this would be an awesome lineup if it was last week. You know, I see this all the time. People do it in the betting world and the fantasy world. Whatever happened last week, oh, will surely happen again. D'Angelo Williams carved up the pathetic Washington Redskins run defense. So automatically he's going to do the same thing against the much better Cincinnati Bengals, right? You can't live in the past and you can't remember what you saw last. It's like the stock market. These guys aren't walking around in $8,000 suits because they're picking stocks that were hot last week. You got to pick a stock that's going to be hot lot in a couple of days' time. People always remember what they saw last, and what have we seen last? We've seen the Denver Broncos win a lot. That's what we've seen last. And in fact, the Denver Broncos haven't lost a football game in 276 days as of right now. As of Sunday, it'll be 278 days. They played intensive football. They've won six straight football games right now, including a Super Bowl rematch that they really should have lost. Graham Cano normally doesn't miss that kick. He does. If he makes that kick, right now the Denver Broncos aren't being talked about as six-point favorites against the Indianapolis Colts. The Denver Broncos are being talked about like a team that's in big trouble because Trevor Siemian is an average quarterback. Well, I'll tell you what else do people remember last? They remember the Indianapolis Colts losing to the Detroit Lions last week. They saw Matt Stafford go up and down the field on the Colts defense, but they're not talking about the fact that Andrew Luck also threw for four touchdown passes. My bold statement of the week will be that the Indianapolis Colts will not only cover the 6 points, the 6 points is just insurance, but the bubble will burst on Sunday. The Indianapolis Colts will hand the Denver Broncos their first loss of the season, and their first loss, incidentally, since they played the Pittsburgh Steelers last December the 15th. The Denver Broncos are an awesome football team, and the Denver Broncos are going to be an impact football team this year. But it doesn't mean they're going to win every damn Sunday that they take the field. The Indianapolis Colts' track record is strong. Andrew Luck, 16-4 against the spread, coming off of a loss. Andrew Luck also 3-1 against the Denver Broncos in his career, including a playoff victory in Denver. Gary Kubiak, 1-4 against the spread. Last five as a home favorite. Add it all up. The 6 points is just insurance. The Indianapolis Colts are beating the Denver Broncos. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Football Network, as we are calling it this evening. It's Fantasy Friday. It's Football Friday. We got you covered. We got college football with Joe Lisi. There's a ton of monster college football games. Week two of the National Football League began last night. We have our first firing of the National Football League season. Greg Roman, offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, pays the price for his ineptitude last night. Yeah, Tyrod Taylor. What happened to Tyrod Taylor? Has somebody cloned him? Who is this guy that's playing quarterback right now? Just terrible. And I almost feel sorry for Rex Ryan right now, because not everything is his fault, but a lot of it is his fault, and the writing's on the wall. If you're a Buffalo Bill fan like myself, we're out of our misery already. There's no teasing. There's no, if we go, 4-2 down the stretch, we make the playoffs. There's ain't no playoffs. And if anything, the Bills would be better off if they just went 0-16. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now. ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. Steve, it's always a pleasure. What's going on?
Hey, Gabe, doing well. I had no play in the Buffalo game, so I'm neutral.
Yeah, it's amazing, though, with the Bills. The Cleveland Browns are just terrible, Steve, right? They get blown out. They're terrible. They don't really ever tease their fans. They just suck. But you watch the Bills and they take the lead. They look good. They're bipolar, man. It's a roller coaster that puts people in the hospital.
Yeah, I think the difference is Cleveland has no talent. They never have. Buffalo's had some talent recently, and that's why it's a tease. And you said coming into the segment off the air, you told me it's going to be a long year. I was laughing at myself because I was like, it's been a long century.
Yeah,
I was going to say decade, but it's been more than that. It's really been the whole century.
Yeah, it has been a long century.
The whole millennium.
Yeah, and listen, I made money on them during those Super Bowl runs. I was lost in the Super Bowl, except we made money getting there all the time. But for the most part, Steve, it's been 38 years of nothing but crap and misery for me. And it's funny because they showed a teenager last night, all decked out in Bills gear. He's all fired up. Looked like he was 14 or 15. And I was thinking, kid, you have no idea how crap your football life is going to be.
Yeah, but that's respectable because he's actually been on board for nothing but losers. That is a true diehard fan. People our age, I don't care about the Redskins anymore, but you and I have seen success with our teams in the past. So, you know, we can, like, somewhat in the distant memory have a reason to root for him. I mean, that guy, he's never known nothing but losing. It's all uphill. It's all downhill for him, actually.
Yeah. Without a doubt. No, Bill fans are loyal. If anything, dumb, but loyal. All right, Steve, so let's blast through this stuff so we can get to as many games as possible. We got a college football triple header tonight. You know, they're not great games, but we've had worse, Steve, right? You know, it's one of these deals where, like, in each game, there's a good team playing. Start off with Baylor and Rice. You know, this is a tough game, though, to bet on, man. Baylor's minus 31. The total 65. I'm not sure Rice can do enough to get to the over. I'm not sure that Grobe is as evil as Briles is in running up the scores. But with that being stated, they were flat last week against SMU. It was 6-6 at the half. And then they exploded for 34 points in the second half. I think Baylor's offense sort of keeps this going. I wouldn't give this, you know, I wouldn't be selling this pick if I was you, Steve, but ultimately I think Baylor does cover.
Yeah, I mean, last year these teams played. Baylor put up 70 on them at home. They were a 33-point home favorite. They win 70-17. Now they're a 31-point road favorite. I mean, you could obviously say they're going to have no motivation for this game after that easy win, and they do have Oklahoma State on deck next week. But this is a Friday night primetime game. If this was a Saturday afternoon game, I would say maybe Rice has a chance.
Yeah.
Normally, the Friday night primetime games, we like the home dogs better. In this case, I think it actually might keep Baylor focused and enable them to pull away and cover by more than 30.
That's a great point for you, Ray, Steve. If this game's buried on Jefferson Pilot at 11:30 a.m., Baylor's like, whatever, let's just get out of here. It's under the lights. It's on ESPN.
Right.
And as you mentioned, Steve, you've got a Rice team. They're playing at home. But the fact of the matter is, you know, as far as your rankings do it, if we ranked home field advantage, Steve, like,
right,
where's Rice's? Right there next to Eastern Michigan's? Like, come on. Like, they get 16,000 people a game. Not to mention, how far is Rice and Baylor's campuses?
Waco fans are going to travel. Exactly. It's an in-state game. And the bottom line is Rice has put up 14 points on mediocre Western Kentucky and Army defenses the last 2 weeks. I mean, they might not be able to keep up and even get a backdoor cover here. And that's what you're hoping for with the 31-point dog is a backdoor cover. That's not the type of offense you want to see.
No, you're exactly right. And normally, you know me, I jump on the over in this, but I see the same thing. I'm like, if you guys can only score 14 in a high-scoring game against Western Kentucky team, and then only 14 against Army, you know, maybe you get 14 here. Baylor's defense is a little bit better now, actually, and I think their offense will want to keep it rolling and light it up to get some confidence. They got Oak State next week, Steve, but they also want to build some confidence going into that game.
Yeah, I mean, the best play might be the Baylor team total over. The total for the game, 65.5. They scored 70 on their own last year against Rice. You know, you get a team total, you get a little more value there. You don't have to worry about Rice then.
And there's a history here, Steve. 7 years in a row, Baylor's won and covered. So,
yeah, that tells you something.
Yeah, we're not jumping out on a limb here. Arkansas State and Utah State. Arkansas State have been underachievers so far this year, Steve.
Yeah, they have. This is kind of the team to beat in the Sun Belt, everybody thought coming in. Very, very mediocre performance against Toledo. Very bad performance, actually. They were a 4-point home favorite on opening week, lost by 21. Then got blown out against Auburn last week. You know, we always have to be careful early in the season. Sometimes teams start slow, but tough to really back Arkansas State until we see something. I really liked USC last week. I thought they would bounce back against Utah State. I don't read too much into that game as well. These are really two teams that have been tough to get a read on so far this season.
Yeah, you know what, though? Utah State's a tough place to play, Steve. I think Arkansas State's going to be in tough here. As you stated, a lot of people thought Arkansas State's going to compete for a Sun Belt title. You know, they had a lot of guys back on a potent offense, but they lost Freddie Knighton, the quarterback, who is a very good quarterback. And you can't just assume always that the new kid's going to come in and everything's going to click. But it's amazing to me that the Red Hawks only have 24 points in two games, Steve. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think the under might be the safest play here, under 56. They've put up 10 and 14 in two games so far. And then you look at Utah State, they have absolutely no passing attack. They're averaging less than 5.5 yards per pass. They're running the ball basically a ton. So the under could be worth a look here.
Yeah, I think I'm taking a tease to the over. I think it'll be right around the number. But I like Utah State here. I got a teaser, Utah State to the over. All right, Arizona State, speaking of the overs, Arizona State hung 68 up on the board last week against Texas Texas Tech. And in fact, their running back, Steve, nearly broke the total himself, actually. He scored 8 touchdowns, 48 points. We got a total here of 59. I'm not really in a hurry to be laying 20, 20 and a half, or 21 with the Devils on the road here. But conversely, I don't want to take the Roadrunners. And, the under 59 the number seems too low here at 59. I wouldn't want to be on the under here, Steve. I like the over.
Yeah, just this afternoon, this line has now hit 21 and a half. I've even seen a 22 out there. So it was 21, but it's now 21 and a half, which is a very key move. Getting more than 3 full touchdowns now, I think the Roadrunners are a live dog. Arizona State, once again, if this was a Saturday afternoon game, I would actually really like San Antonio here. I'm a little concerned with the fact it's a primetime Friday night game like we talked about Baylor staying focused. But look at Arizona State. 2 easy blowout home wins, or not blowout wins, but 2 high-scoring wins. And that Texas Tech win went back and forth last week. Over 110 points scored, and now they've got Cal and USC on deck the next 2 weeks. This is not a good scheduling spot, especially traveling on a short week, and San Antonio is a capable team. They're a veteran team, and getting more than 3 touchdowns is tempting here.
I gotta tell you, Steve, I've been doing TV for 15 years now. I've had a lot of distractions over the years, and I don't know, as I get older, I'm turning into Bill O'Reilly, where I want everyone to stand still. But on this show opens up, I got one cameraman and keep shaking his leg over here. I know he's freaking out because Greg Roman's fired or something. I got a cell phone with some rap song, ring that's going off in the hallway. My earpiece keeps popping out of my head, and now I got a damn bird in the studio. There's a bird giving birth above my head or something.
Live TV.
Yeah, I swear to God, little ants are going to start falling down.
Yeah, I heard a chirp.
Can you hear the chirp?
I heard a chirp after you said it, yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Live TV, baby.
The show, brought to you by Twitter. It's the Twitter bird. Seriously, there's a bird in here or something. It never ends, man.
Be careful.
Babies crying, cell phones, people moving, babies crying. It never ends, man.
You better be careful. If that's a Twitter bird, it might be begging for money.
You know what, though? I could use a bird, dump right on my head right about now. I hear it's good luck, right?
Yeah, it's very good luck.
Yeah, they say it's good luck if a pigeon takes a crap on you. So come on, just dump away, guys. The world does. You should too.
Maybe it'll happen when you're making your selection. Maybe it's time. My lock of the week. Is that stronger than your shoe-in of the week?
Yeah,
the
shoe-in won. Hey, I said the Jets, but I'm a Bills fan, and I backed off of it because I'm an idiot. All right, so you know what a good line is, though? I heard Steve Perry of Aerosmith once say he was talking about the ups and downs of his career, and he said, "Well, I learned life." He goes, "Sometimes you're the bird, sometimes you're the statue."
That is true.
And I think when you're sports betting, sometimes you're the bird, sometimes you're the statue. So, Buccaneers and the Arizona Cardinals. We talk about this, Steve. What do you make of Week 1? I don't know. I have my reservations about this Arizona team. I used to be the president of the fan club of Bruce Arians, but I still love them. But they're not great home favorites, and they seem to be overpriced all the time. Last week, 9.5 versus the Pats. This week, 6.5 versus the Bucks. But, man, I don't like betting on NFL teams on back-to-back road games.
Yeah, I mean, what I try to do here in Week 2 is not really look too much at Week 1 and use my ratings still coming into the season. The problem with this game, as you know, Gabe, Tampa Bay was a play-on team for me. I liked them against Atlanta last week. Because of that, we're not getting as much line value now. This line has gone from 7 now down to 6.5 in a lot of spots. New England closed as high as 9.5, so the Buccaneers are getting 3 points less than the New England Patriots got last week. Granted, they had a backup quarterback, but still, it was a New England Patriots. So not a lot of line value here, but I still like Arizona. I still like Tampa Bay as a live dog. Arizona's got some problems at defensive back. That's one of the reasons Garoppolo looked good last Sunday night. You also got to wonder about that last second loss, that missed field goal. Does that linger a little bit this week, especially against a Tampa Bay team that maybe other opponents aren't taking quite serious yet?
Yeah, I think Arizona wins the game, maybe, but it's a close one. You and I talked about it. We talked about Tampa being a new Carolina. You know, the numbers were so similar. They just had to learn how to win games. There's a rejuvenation in and energy on the sidelines with a new coach there. Jameis Winston, 4 touchdown passes last week. As you stated, you look at the New England Patriots, you know, their wide receiver core, you know, they didn't have a lot of weapons, and Garoppolo threw the ball around the lot. Last week, Winston threw 4 touchdown passes. Tampa's got lethal weapons. I think they should be able to move the ball, and when you're getting 6.5 points, you want a team that can move the ball. And then conversely, even gives us the backdoor option late.
Yeah, Garoppolo, without Gronkowski in the lineup, the backup quarterback threw for almost 9 yards per pass last week. And the only reason that game was close is because he fumbled. That led to an easy touchdown, and then the running back fumbled. So 2 fumbles is only they kept Arizona in that game even.
All right, so what about this one? Sort of a similar situation here with the Falcons and the Raiders. One thing that catches my eye here is the fact that the Falcons are just in a free fall, Steve. 2-11 against the spread in their last 13 football games. They're a terrible road team. 1-5 against the spread their last 6 on the highway. Now they go to the West Coast. They got lit up at home inside the dome against Tampa. Now you got to deal with Carr, Crabtree, and Cooper and company. We know they have a lethal offense. But with all that being stated, I like the Raiders from a fantasy standpoint. I think it's a high-scoring game here, Steve. But the Raiders don't have a great track record of laying points and covering as a favorite. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, first of all, here's another example. The Raiders were a play-on team for me coming into this season. I liked them last week against New Orleans, but this line is inflated now. You know, they go from being a 2.5, 3-point dog last week to now being a 4.5-point home favorite. This is an Oakland team that still has not had a winning record since their Super Bowl season in 2002. You know, so my gut feeling here is, yeah, the Raiders are the better team. They're a play-on team, but boy, that 4.5 looks a little pricey here, even though I think the Falcons are kind of a team on the decline. I like the Raiders to win this game, but, you know, I could almost see it landing on a field goal and that line value difference making the difference on the ticket.
You know, Steve, you know how busy I am, man, and I work around the clock, and I was up last night till like 4 in the morning. I'm going over numbers again, and I gave up. I had to tap out. I'm like, I got to go to bed, because I was going to write down the Raiders last like 10 times they were home favorites, and I couldn't find it anymore. No one did it for me, Steve, so I had to look up the schedules, and I'm adding up. My head hurt. I didn't write it down, but there weren't a lot of home covers, Steve, as a favorite, man. I got to tell you, they're not in this spot a lot, but it's asking a lot from the win by 5. All right, let's jump into some NASCAR. Chase begins. Let's blast through the futures for the chase and then a quick take on the race itself. 10 races, bottom 4 guys eliminated as we go on in 3 race intervals until we get to Miami at Homestead in the final race. Kevin Harvick, 5-1. He's favored to win. He won the chase in 2014. He's been calling everybody out. He's fired people. He only won 2 races this year, but he's been Mr. Consistent. 23 second place finishes in the last 3 years for Harvick. Defending champion Kyle Busch is plus 550. Brad Keselowski, 7-1. Denny Hamlin, never won a championship before, but he's 8-1. And I think a long shot, I wish I was getting more odds, Kyle Larson, 14-1.
Gabe, one of the major offshore books has Kyle Larson and Harvick as co-favorites right now at 6-1.
Wow.
And I think the reason is because they had a lot of liability probably on Kyle Larson.
So you're telling me my 14's not that bad if I can get it.
Yeah, I've looked at 2 or 3 books, and that's about the best I've seen. He's around that, you know, double-digit range. But yeah, 6-1 at one book just because of the liability they have earlier in the season when he was high double digits. And he runs really well at Chicago. This is one of his best tracks. He's been top 5 the last few weeks. This is a cookie cutter. It's all about picking guys that can either win or be consistent. Kevin Harvick, all those second place finishes, he hardly ever has a bad run, so he's going to keep advancing. Keselowski, Kyle Busch, you know, they're capable of winning any week. Martin Truex Jr. has been the best intermediate racer all season. I like Truex maybe to win the whole thing. He's really probably had as good, if not the best, car of any driver on the circuit this year.
I like him. I read Micah Roberts' preview, and a great analogy to use, though. The Truex, if he's a football team, they fumble at the goal line a couple of times.
You know? Yeah, Harvick makes mistakes too, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we got to get out of here. But for the record, long shot to win the chase, Kyle Larson. At least that he lingers. He's going to be around at 14-1, some good value. Ultimately, though, you know what? I'm going to pull the trigger. Brad Keselowski. I'm going to take Keselowski to win, and I say Keselowski gets it going this week in Chicago in the Ninja Turtle race, Steve. Plus 900. We got to get out of here. But great stuff, Steve. Check out Steve's picks over at ProSportsInfo.com and covers experts. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, we're getting the hook. We're going to come back. Joe Lisi, we talk college football coming up next. God, Does anyone have any like Pepto-Bismol or anything like that? Like, you know, I'm trying to get through this. I was all right. I was just talking with Drew during the break here about the Buffalo Bills. And I'm just drained. Like, I have chest pains. Warman's producing in master control. You know what I'm talking. Like, how good do you feel now, Warman? Like physically, it's straining, isn't it? Like, it really is. He just says it's terrible. They're the worst team in football. No, it is. Like, last night, like I said, I'm trying to get ready for the show today, and I plowed through it because I'm a trooper. But I just wanted to go to bed, man. Like, it's just like, I was like, it's just too much. And now the chest pains are kicking in, and the anger. Like, my voice, you've noticed my voice a little shot. I did a podcast last night live during the game. I was yelling during the game. That gave that play, all those plays. Like, screw you. Like, what are they? I have no team. Let's bring in Joe Lisi. Talk some college football. What's going on, Joe? You know what, though? It's like, you know, like when the teenager, you find out your son is like a heroin dealer, and then you're like, I have no son. Like, that's my deal now. I have no team. Like, you guys, you're done. Like, just, you know, you're done.
I'm like you, Gabe. I'm a Dolphins fan, so I feel your pain.
Yeah, well, yeah, you guys blew it last week, too. Huh? Like, you could have won, and you didn't.
Just tormenting the AFC East.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole thing. Everyone, like, says the Patriots are great. You're a college football guy, Joe. The Patriots are, like, a great team in the worst conference. You know what I mean? Like, come on, you're competing with the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins. Like, seriously, no wonder they've won 12 years in a row.
It's incredible. It really is, Gabe. I mean, each year you're built with optimism and you're ready, and then after the first two games, it's season over for both of us, it seems.
I got to tell you something. You guys only lost once. You're already defeated. Hey, you know what? Hey, you guys are all right. This sounds crazy, Joe. I don't know. I'm just stupid. I think the Dolphins cover the 6.5 in New England this week.
They probably do, but Gabe, they'll find a way to lose that ball game. And again, I count it as a loss because we have Tannehill at quarterback. Not sold on him. I wish we can get him out of town. Take anybody at the quarterback position over Ryan Tannehill. As long as he's our quarterback, I can't say this team is good.
You know what? Just the misery of NFL fans. I did a video ripping the Bills earlier in the week as a Bill fan. I was like, how it sucks being a Bills fan. And you know, all kinds of comments. They're like, I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan. This applies to us. We're losers too. And I'm getting it from everyone. They're like, yeah, I saw your video. They're like, yeah, man, trust me. You know, my team's just as bad. I'm a Browns fan. But anyways, let's talk some college football. That's all I have left. I got my Michigan Wolverines. But we got FSU and Louisville. Monster football game. Early game. It's a high noon, throwdown here. Who do you like, Joe?
I like Florida State. They'll be without their starting safety, Derwin James, who injured his knee. So that's a big loss for Florida State overall. But I think their defense can hold up. They're only giving up 108 rushing yards on the ground. And I think they'll utilize Dalvin Cook in the short to intermediate passing game and contain Lamar Jackson. I think Florida State's the more complete team. You can't take away what Lamar Jackson's done. The number one total offense in college football, 754 total yards a game. But I like Florida State in this matchup. I think they had a gutty 10-point victory on the road in Louisville Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, let's be honest here. Listen, Lamar Jackson's a hell of an athlete. He's completed passes to like 16 different guys. They're explosive. But if we did a power rankings of what the Charlotte 49er defense is and what the Syracuse Orangemen defense is, you know, we're not, this is a huge step up. It's like going from preseason NFL football to a regular season game. And FSU has a game against an SEC team under their belt already.
They do. And the way they're playing on third down conversions, that's what I look at. They're only allowing 30% on third down conversions to opposing offenses, and they have 9 sacks already in 2 games, and they're plus 6 in turnover margin. You look at Lamar Jackson, he's shown inconsistency when he's put in the pocket and cannot roll outside of contain. I think Florida State's defense could keep him in the pocket to force him to make reads and progressions and make mistakes at home, and that's why I like Florida State overall in this matchup.
Yeah, you say the Florida State Seminoles, 30% stoppage rate, great rate on third down. I think the Buffalo Bills, it's like 99. Like, I swear to God, like, for the last 22 years, the Bills on third down just get carved up. But now I'm getting all crazy and the chest pains are kicking in again. Oregon Ducks and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Nebraska hasn't had a feather in the cap signature win in a long time, and have also struggled in the past against Pac-12 teams, like a lot of Big Ten teams have. Just 1-5 against the spread last 6 versus the Pac-12. The Oregon Ducks 7-1 against the spread last 8 on the road versus the Big Ten. What this stands out to me here is the point spread's up to 3.5. Joe, the Ducks 13-1 against the spread last 14 times. They're non-conference underdogs. This is a big game for Mike Riley and company, and it's also a big game for Helfrich. The Ducks are trending downwards slowly but surely. They win this football game, it gives them some confidence going into Pac-12 play. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, it does. You're absolutely right. But I like Mike Riley in this spot. He's 4-10 against Oregon when he was the head coach at Oregon State, but he has a read on this team, and I think he's got the better offensive line in Nebraska. They're averaging 215 yards on the ground, Oregon allowing 141 yards to opposing offenses, and they struggled last week at home against a blue-collar team in Virginia. I like Tommy Armstrong. I like Nebraska at home, and I do think they get a convincing victory over Oregon on Saturday night.
Pitt and Oklahoma State, very, very interesting game. A weird game, actually. It's interesting. I like seeing matchups like this. You know, you don't expect Pitt and Oklahoma State to be playing each other. So Pitt's coming off the win against Penn State. Oklahoma State coming off the bizarre loss to Central Michigan. The Cowboys only 4.5-point favorites here. They get Baylor next week, actually. But they understand the stakes are high here. What do you make of this football game?
Yeah, I really like Oklahoma State in this matchup. They're coming off a very disappointing game where they lost on the last play of the game. Pitt knocked off arch rival Penn State in dramatic fashion, 3-point victory, but they allowed 332 passing yards to Penn State and Trace McSorley. They're going to be going on the road against one of the most prolific offenses in college football, led by Mason Rudolph. He's got 2 big play wide receivers in Jalen McCreskey and James Washington that have combined already for 25 receptions, 233 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think Oklahoma State dominates this matchup and gets a convincing victory. It's a speed perspective, in my opinion, Gabe. Oklahoma State gets a 17-20-point victory over Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I like where you're going with this. I think it's a bad spot for Pitt. I think it's a good spot for Oak State to get back on track. Yet, let's not kid ourselves. There's a lot of talk about that play shouldn't have happened. And, the Chippewas really didn't win the game fairly. But let's be honest, Mason Rudolph struggled all afternoon, Joe. I watched every snap of that football game. He struggled. Central Michigan were in that game. I was surprised to see how poorly Rudolph played last week.
He did, but he's still completing 67% of his passes on the year. And Central Michigan played Oklahoma State tough last year. They only lost by 13 points at home, game number 1 of 2015. So they had a good read on the Cowboys. But again, I look at Pittsburgh's secondary. They're allowing 225 passing yards per game. That's the way you beat Pittsburgh last year, over the top. And I think Oklahoma State has way too much speed on the perimeter against Pitt's secondary. I think they exploit them in this matchup, coupled with the fact that Oklahoma State's coming off a tough loss at home the way they did. I think Oklahoma State rolls in this game.
All right. We've only got 1 minute here, Joe, so we got to be quick, but I got to get your take on Ohio State and Oklahoma. Primetime affair Saturday night. It's amazing. It's the first time in 16 years that Oklahoma had been a dog on on this field, and that was to Nebraska in the old conference rivalry days. You got Ohio State coming in here. Oklahoma hasn't won a big game in a while. Big game Bob Stoops' reputation is taking a hit. I say they win this game. Ohio State, they've been flashy so far this year, but they're a young team. Oklahoma's got their ass kicked on neutral fields and bowl games. You know, they don't lose at home very often. I think they win under the lights. I like the Sooners. Who do you got?
I do, too. I think their defense, they're only allowing 83 rushing yards per game. They make J.T. Barrett and that offense one-dimensional. And as an underdog, they get a 10-point victory over Ohio State.
Joe Lisi, check out his website, goforthetwo.com. And you can also listen to Joe and Rich Sermonello from campusinsiders.com Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Download the app. You can listen on iTunes as well. It's a must-listen. Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Anytime, Gabe. Love the show.
There's Joe Lisi with us. So now I told you before we got Bird. Sounds like the Bird's back. And it sounds like there's a party going on in the hallway. The fun times continue. Football Friday continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Pat Mayo onto the set coming off his Super Lock debut last week. The Minnesota Vikings put a scare into Mayo in the first half, but they put it together in the second
half.
The
defense. Oh, we talked about the defense and how good they work. I mean, they were the best unit on the field, and they did all the scoring.
Once again, undervalued, Pat, against a...
I'm not going to lie to you. They might be undervalued again this week.
No, they really are undervalued once again this week, and they beat the Green Bay Packers last time they played, and it cost me a lot of money in the Super Contest, but we'll get to that game in a moment. So let's start off, let's jump right in, Pat, because we don't have a ton of time in the segment. Let's start off with what you looked at for your Super Lock for this week.
I narrowed it down to three games, and honestly, when I looked at the slate, there wasn't one game that jumped out as like, oh, well, that's way off. Did you find that this week?
There's a few games
pretty
that
fair.
I like, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Okay, well, the three that I narrowed it down to was Baltimore and Cleveland. I like Cleveland in that game in the plus 6.5 at home. There could be some nasty weather, but I think that game actually goes over the 43.5. I think it's a higher scoring game than people think. Cleveland is better with Josh McCown under center than with Robert
Griffin. I want to take Cleveland in this game. I really do.
I'm going to take that. I'll be betting them.
I want to take Cleveland, but they're the Cleveland Browns, and we've been down this road. I got to be honest with you, Pat. I took the Cleveland Browns last week.
I did not.
I took the Browns last week. And it was one of my few losses. I agree with you. I think that Josh McCown is an upgrade. Gary Barnage had nothing last week. Zero. Nothing.
Duke, watch out for the impact that Duke Johnson makes this weekend in the backfield, too. With Josh McCown under center, Duke Johnson's averaging 5.5 catches per game, as opposed to other Browns quarterbacks where he's averaging 2.4 catches per game. So that's something to watch out for in terms of the offensive side of the ball.
You know what the problem is here, though? The Baltimore Ravens are 7-1 straight up and against the spread the last eight times they played the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Josh McCown 1-1 against them last year.
Yeah.
I just like the Josh McCown factor. I think it's a lot of points to be given up.
He's not Joe Montana.
He's better than Robert Griffin. I'm not locking
that
in, though.
The thing with Cleveland is their defense is putrid.
Yes.
So what kind of damage can Baltimore... So that's the key to this game. What kind of damage does Baltimore's offense do to the Cleveland
after
defense?
Watching the Bills last night and how they can only score on 80-yard plays and not move the ball any other way, maybe Baltimore's defense isn't as good as we think it is. Maybe the Bills just made them look really good.
Right.
That's possible. Okay, the other game I looked at, Carolina. I like all those points, minus 13.5. It opened at minus 11. The bets all week have been pounded on San Francisco. Everyone watched San Francisco beat up on the Rams a Monday night in a primetime game, embarrass them in the home opener, just like they did to Minnesota week one last year. Now, this is a big number. I don't usually like laying big points, but San Francisco, in a late game on Monday, which you're never going to play again, on a short week, traveling across the country, three time zones, to play a 1 o'clock game on an extra rest Carolina Panthers that are going to stomp them. Cam is excellent as a giant favorite, especially at home. They play more up-tempo at home. They play that no-huddle offense. I think that they demolish the San Francisco 49ers at home. Not my lock, but this game opened at 11.5. 75% of the bets against the spread have come in against the Niners. That number is now up to 14 in some places. So terrific line movement. Carolina's going to wax them. I would even look for an alternate point spread here. You can find minus 21, minus 25. 5. Maybe get some 3-1, 4-1 action on that, like the Panthers. But I will be locking in the Cincinnati Bengals plus 3.5 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This number has dropped already from 4.5. It's even in 3 in some places right now. So get on the 3.5 before it goes away. This is a field goal game. I'm not saying the Bengals are going to win, but it's going to be close. People almost like the Niners are just kind of all over the Steelers, winning on the road in a primetime game against the Redskins. Yeah, well, maybe the Redskins aren't any good. Maybe Pittsburgh's defense isn't very good. Maybe Cincinnati just went into New York against a really good team and a really good defense and won on the road. I mean, they won on a last-second missed field goal, but still, this is a close game. The Bengals, plus 3.5, lock of the week.
Well, this is why I said earlier in the program, week 2 to me is trickier than week 1.
Agreed.
You have an impression, and people, that's not a set-in-stone impression. Like I said, you can meet someone for 30 seconds, but you don't know them, and that's like watching a team play in week 1. It's very tricky that you can't fall into the trap from what you saw in week 1. This game scares me, Pat. I want to take the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's a field goal
I'm
game.
I'm teasing the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now for you teaser players, 7-point teaser, Cincinnati Bengals plus 10. That's going to be in my back pocket.
The tease Carolina down, too. That's...
Well, your Carolina pick I like. Quickly on a Carolina game, I agree with everything Pat said. Don't forget, too, Carolina's lost 2 straight games now to the Broncos in the Super Bowl. The
Broncos are good. People
yeah,
forget that.
They should have beaten them last week. They missed the field goal. It's short week for San Francisco. And don't forget, it's an extra long week for Carolina to even have extra time to prepare. And last year, the 49ers beat the Vikings in the opening week. What happened in week 2? They went to Pittsburgh and they lost 43-18. They lost by 25 points on the road. I agree with Pat. A similar situation will happen. I like Kelvin Benjamin, actually, on DraftKings, too.
Ted Ginn, too, is like a $3,000 player.
But as far as the Bengals and the Steelers concerned, listen, close series, most intense rivalry in football. Road team won all 3 times they played last year.
And the under has hit 6 of the past 7 games in Pittsburgh. If this is going to be an under game, which I think it's going to be, I think that favors the Bengals in those points.
You know what my problem with this is? You can make, listen, D'Angelo Williams is 33 years old. He's not young. Short week.
Very good, though.
Yeah, he's
very good.
Short week. And I think he's not going to carve up the Steeler. The Steelers aren't carving up the Bengals defense like they did the Redskins. But the Cincinnati Bengals last week, Andy Dalton got sacked 7 times. All right. They also got 0 pressure whatsoever at all on the New York Jets. So the Bengals escaped with a victory by making big plays with AJ Green.
Sure, but they
have a lot of holes, Pat. Like that's
but they didn't play their best game and beat a pretty good Jets team on the road. This, you know what they're going to do to Big Ben? Almost like what the Packers did to Allen Robinson last week. They're going to hit Ben after the whistle. They're going to hit Brown after the whistle. They're going to play dirty in this game.
They did that last year and they got suspended for that.
Damn,
that's why this game is so intense.
But if that game ends up the same way by the same score,
and I had the Bengals in that game.
But if the score ends up the same way as that game with the 3.5 points, the Bengals cover that number.
Well, you're going to like this. You're a numbers guy. The Cincinnati Bengals are 13-3-1 against the spread the last 17 times they've been an underdog.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, like
they're a very good team.
No, they aren't. They are a very good team.
And the
criticism of Dalton and Lewis is unfounded. They lose
because they lose in the playoffs.
What happens?
This is regular season. We're good with that. The things I want to point out before we get out of here, Green Bay, 80% of the wagers are on Green Bay. That number has dropped from -3 to -2. I like the Vikings at
New
home.
New stadium opener there. First time they're playing in the stadium.
Yeah, everyone did. No one wants to bet on Minnesota, but that defense is
going
to show up.
I was on Jacksonville. I told you Jacksonville.
Yeah, you were right. You're absolutely right.
This game, I would take Minnesota, but I like Jacksonville better last week.
Fair enough. Arizona opened at 7. All the money is on them, but that number is climbing down. It's now at 6.5. I didn't love it at 7, but that's 6.5. I think this is a close game, but a touchdown close game. If Tampa's going to cover, it's going to be a backdoor cover. I think Arizona covers after getting kind of embarrassed on Sunday night. I don't think the Bucs are quite as good as people may think they are after week 1. Oh, you went into Atlanta and won. Congratulations. Now beat a good team.
Pat Mayo, super lock, the Cincinnati Bengals. We take a quick break. We'll come back with some DraftKings millionaire maker lineups for you. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some DFS. Let's try to become millionaires, baby. All right, last week we gave you a millionaire maker lineup. It did okay. We got $5 back for the $3 that we put in. We tore it up on Monday, man. I was 4 points short of winning $50,000. The Pittsburgh Steeler explosion, the fantasy explosion. Our football team ended up like 186 points. Let's try to put something together. I know that this segment was very popular last week. Feel free to comment and add something besides you suck, Morenci. Like, drop some knowledge if you've got some fantasy advice, because I'm going to be putting together more than just this lineup. But this is what I came up with last night in the late night hours. Our quarterback is the same quarterback that we had last week. Derek Carr, $7,200. Now, I like Newton this week. I like Manning this week. But I look at Carr, and last week he started out of the gate a little bit slow. And he only threw for one touchdown pass, which is crazy. But ultimately, he still ended up with like 25 DK points. And now he gets an Atlanta Falcons secondary that just allowed Jameis Winston to throw four touchdown passes on him. And that game was at home in a dome. Now the Falcons are going on the road where they're terrible. The Falcons are a bad football team. They're in a free fall. This game's going to be a track meet. And I think Derek Carr is going to throw for like three, four touchdown passes. C.J. Anderson. I'm like the president of the C.J. Anderson fan club. All right? Like, you know, I had the Panthers in the Super Bowl last year. I was just worried. Oh, God. Like, C.J. Anderson might beat us. And that's exactly what happened. C.J. Anderson's a badass. Last week, C.J. Anderson had 29 DK points. He was only owned by 6% of the people. Nobody believes in C.J. Anderson. He's going to run holes, man. He's going to run up and down the field against this Indianapolis Colts team. I think the Colts are going to win a game. It's going to be a high-scoring game. But I think C.J. Anderson's going to be the big star, especially with Thomas's injury situation. Anderson's the go-to guy when they need a play right now. T.J. Yeldon. Now, listen, let's be clear. T.J. Yeldon sucks, all right? I had him on my team last year on my season-long team, and I really regretted it. But the bottom line is Chris Ivory just got out of the hospital. Looks like Yeldon's going to be the guy. And Yeldon got the ball 26 times last week, guys, and that was against the Green Bay Packers. And he was actually pretty productive with like 16 DK points. Now he gets the San Diego Chargers. I could run for 110 yards on the San Diego Chargers. Give me T.J. Yeldon. Kelvin Benjamin. I like him. $6,500. Cam Newton's going to be in a bad mood. Benjamin's going to kill these guys. Benjamin catches two touchdown passes. I don't know how owned he's going to be, but at $6,500, he's on my team. I'm a big Amari Cooper fan, but I'll take Crabtree. I'll take Crabtree. Crabtree's going to get his targets. Trufant's going to be on Cooper. Crabtree's going to be running wild. Crabtree has a big game at $6,100. Now, I had to squeeze in somewhat of a sleeper and a long shot here. We're going to go with Jeremy Curley. You know what? He had 11 targets in week one. That was a football game that San Francisco was winning that they didn't have to pass in. And he had 11 targets. He caught seven of them. For $3,000, that's a pretty good value. And what I like about this is that Gabbert says that he loves this guy, that he just seems to have a connection with him. And what I like about this is I think Carolina is going to be winning 35-0 at the half, and San Francisco's going to have to throw the football. Gary Barnage. Gary Barnage was shut out last week. Gary Barnage had like six touchdowns in seven games when McCowan played last year. Gary Barnage is going to get involved this week. He's my tight end at $4,000. And my sexy high-ticket item here, Odell Beckham against the sad sack, pathetic New Orleans Saint secondary that, oh yeah, also just lost their best at DB. Give me Odell. You got to feed the beast, man. The old dog's not happy. Everyone else got to dance last week. Odell wants to dance. All right, Buccaneer defense, $2,200. As far as our college football plays and our card tonight is concerned, we got Baylor, minus 31. Utah State, tease to the over. We got Arizona State and Texas San Antonio, over 59. Hamilton Tiger Cats are going to drill the Montreal Alouettes, and a little Bellator action for you. Johnson beats Congo. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours and mine. Happy Football Friday, everybody.